I don't think that I have ever done this before. I don't think I've ever taken 3 weeks to preach 1 week sermon. But I'm going to try my very best to finish the sermon today that I started 3 weeks ago. And we've been talking about intentionality and how we must be intentional in our walk with Christ. I'm not going to take the time to go back and review everything today. I'm going to ask you just to fall in with me where I start. I'm going to try my best to finish this outline. I told Bob today, I said, Bob, add one more thing. And Bob cautioned me that every time I do that, it costs us another minute or two. The Word of God says to us very plainly in Joshua's book of writings and the things that tells us the story of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, you ought to be able to recite it by now. I've read it to you so much the last few weeks. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you, and thank you again for standing in honor of the reading of God's holy word. I said that I don't want to go back and review everything, because if I do that, it'll take too much time. So just jump in here with me today. I want to talk about intentional serving. You say, well, wait a minute. The last thing you talked about was intentional service. I talked about intentional service because that's the commitment you make to serve God. Intentionally serving means you actually do it. You follow? So you intentionally choose to serve God as you walk with him, knowing that as you serve him, your walk will be greater, you'll be closer, you'll have a better walk with him as you serve him. But intentionally serving means that you put into action what you've said you'll do. I want you to hear this message, and I want you to hear it very plainly. This intentional serving comes after you have been walking with God, after you've committed your life to God, and you decide, because something inside you says, I need to serve, then you intentionally get about serving God. Nobody has to beg you. Nobody has to say, I wish you'd come back to church. Nobody has to come and beg you to be involved. You're just involved because in your heart, there is a lion inside you that's raring to get out. And the only way it can get out is for you to intentionally serve God. And this lion comes to surface and is released when you're involved in serving God. I want to tell you something. Almost 50 years ago now, I came to know Christ. And almost 50 years ago, I was licensed and ordained, Cole. And almost 50 years ago, I started my journey with the Lord. I tried my very best. You don't have time for the testimony today. You can say it as well as I can. I had tried one time about 5-6 years into my journey just to leave. I had decided that God made a mistake, and incidentally, God makes no mistakes. But I had decided that he did in the cause of my life, and I tried my very best to leave him. And for 10 months, I want you to know that the demons of hell grabbed at me, but I want you to know that the precious angels of heaven never turned me loose. Amen. I tried to get away, but I couldn't, because God had saved me. And because of that, I had this desire in my heart to serve him. No one has ever, outside of those 10 months of my life, and it may not have happened during that time, nobody has ever come and knocked on my door and said, man, we wish you'd come back to church. I'm concerned in my heart for those who make their trip down an aisle, join a church, and never come back. I'm concerned in my heart for people who go through the waters of the baptistry and we never see them again. You say, preacher, you ought to be glad they came to church once. You ought to be glad they got baptized. Listen, if you get up there and get baptized, you don't know Christ, you don't have him in your heart, you're just getting wet. You can get wet anywhere you want to get wet. You can go out in a rain shower maybe this afternoon. But when your heart is changed, you have this desire to serve God. And here's what you do in this intentional serving. You just do it. You do it. You just know that God wants you to serve, so you do that. Be intentional in your approach to God. Serve God because you love him and because finally it's sunk down deep inside your heart that God loves you. We used to sing that little song when we were kids growing up. Jesus loves the little children. Let me tell you something, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, Jesus loves adults too. And I want you to understand that he loves you like he loves children. I want you to understand that he wants you to be involved in his mission and his work, in the kingdom's work, and doing that, you'll be serving him. Just do it. You know what to do. Do it. Serve God because you love him, because you know that he loves you. I want to challenge you with something. Just write this down, Psalm 100. It'll probably jump up here in a minute. Psalm 100. I'm going to challenge you that every day for this coming week, every day for this coming week, I'll talk to you again about it next week, but every day of this coming week, I want to challenge you to start your day with this song. Listen to what it says. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with his presence and singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we, not ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. It's everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Try that. Every day next week, when you get up out of bed, have that Bible laying close by, have that phone laying, iPad, something, your computer, whatever you read your Bible on, take that Bible and read Psalm 100 and let that be your pledge to carry you throughout this next week. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Y'all okay? Just do what the Psalm says. You'll get closer and closer to God. Your walk will be better. Doing what that psalm says. Intentional serving is a commitment. I know that people get tired of commitment in church. You know, we used to, a long time ago, we'd say, we want you to commit to the budget. And boy, you want to talk about Baptists getting ruffled feathers. You start talking about the budget. We'd say, commit to the budget. And then we stopped doing that. We just started praying that God would commit folks to the budget. And let me tell you something, God has tremendously blessed us. There's a lot of people that need to get on board. There's a lot of people that need to get their heart right and get right with God. But I'm telling you right now, God has blessed us. But when you know that you're supposed to do something, whether it's tithing or serving or singing or preaching or teaching, whatever it is, being on an intentional team out front that meets everybody and greets them, being on a cart out in the parking lot, driving folks to the church, whatever it is God says for you to do, I challenge you, be intentional in that. Be serious about it. Get involved. Do it. Just do what God calls you to do. Intentional service doesn't just talk about it. I used to go to these meetings that crybaby preachers would have. They'd sit there around and talk, Brother Mark. They'd sit around and talk, Brother Cliff, for hours upon hours of how hard this life is being a minister. I am having the time of my life doing what I do. I'm enjoying every moment of it. Do I have bad days? I do. I had a bad day this morning. It's over now. But every once in a while, I'll have a bad day. But I'm going to tell you something. When I think about serving my God, I'm going to do that with every bit of the intentionality I have. And listen, I want to challenge you with this. Be intentionally, very, very intentionally sincere. Look what the word said in verse 14 of Joshua 24. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. So I did a word study. I've been having trouble with my Bible program lately. Used to it would pronounce the words for me in Hebrew. I could do that, but it takes me days to figure out one word. And it just pronounced it for me. So I've been having trouble with that. So I did a little old-fashioned study this week when I really wanted to look at that word sincerity. You know what it best translates as in English? Sincerity. I mean, it's there's no secret here. There's no big story to tell you. It just means being serious. So when we are sincere and we're involved sincerely in serving God, then we have this sincerity about us that is just real. Nothing will bring you to a place of sincerity with God more than walking with God. And nothing will bring you in a place of sincerity with God until you are really knowing you're in the presence of God and you have a healthy fear of God when you're there. I'm going to tell you something. I believe this church, when the church meets, we leave here in a little while, this is a building. You are the church. And when the church meets, let me tell you something. We ought to be serious about what we do in here. We ought not sit around and drink coffee around the coffee bar while church is going on. We ought to be in Sunday school. We ought to be in church. I got upset this morning with somebody that always just wants to sit around. Don't come here and sit around. If you're going to sit around, stay home. Get in the queen-size bed, the king-size bed, kick back and watch the football kick off. You say, well, I never heard a preacher talk like that. Listen, if you're not serious about what you're doing, why do it? I've been serious most of my life about eating. The results are here. The jury's not out any longer. How serious are you about serving God? If you're intentionally sincere, you say with everything that you have, I'm going to fear God, I'm going to respect God, I'm going to serve Him with everything I have. You have this deep reverence for God? You have an awe of God? I got to be honest with you, I come into this building, I just told somebody, I think Garrett and I were standing through this morning and we're looking out across this building and I said, you know what? I still stand amazed. I'm in awe of what God has done at Northside Baptist Church. I don't ever want to lose that awe. I don't ever want to lose that fear and respect of being in this place where God has done so many wonderful things. When you know Him, you want to be near Him. When you've experienced His holiness, His power, His justice, His unfailing love, you want to commit yourself to that. When you've surveyed the wondrous cross, as the old song says, when I look at the cross, it's not just an emblem. It's not a monument. It's not a piece of jewelry. It's a place where Jesus Christ gave His life for me. And when you get in awe of the cross and get in, and you've surveyed the cross and you're filled with thanksgiving because you understand and realize that Jesus Christ died there in your place, it was your penalty, yet He took it. And I love what Romans says in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Knowing how sorry I was, He died in my place. When you know Him and you see Him and you're in awe of Him, you kind of get an idea in your heart that you're dealing with somebody really special. You know who you're dealing with when you deal with God. You're dealing with the Creator of the universe. You've seen God at work in your life. You may have drifted before. Remember we talked about that last week. You may have drifted before and expected. I don't know about you. I've been here. I've drifted away, that 10-month period of time I talked about a little while ago. And I really didn't think God would have me. I made a promise. I was ordained. I was licensed by the church. I was actively involved in preaching ministry for 6 years, and I just quit. And I'll be real honest with you, there was a time in there that God never let me go. He held on to me every step of the way. There were times I shook trying to get away from Him, but He held on. Amen. And there were times in that course of things, I wasn't all that bad, but I'm going to tell you something. I was bad enough that I was separated from God, and being separated from God, I seriously thought, is God going to mess with me? I mean, I'd hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, it's time to come home. And I'd say, no, I still got some living to do. Still got some things I want. God probably wouldn't have me anyway. But let me tell you something. The day I woke up and came to myself like that prodigal son, I knew that I had drifted away from God, and I saw God with open arms willing to embrace me. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you are, where you are, what you've had going on in your life. It doesn't matter. If you embrace God, if you just reach out to God, that's all you got to do. Just reach out to Him, and He will embrace you. Let a fear of God come over your heart. Realize that God is almighty. He's all-powerful. And in that realization, you just get who God is. And then you get in awe of who God is. I challenge you to be very serious about serving Him. You worship Him because you must, not because it's 10:50 on Sunday morning. You worship Him because you must. It's just down inside your heart you have to. You are sincere. And intentionally, you come before God to serve Him. Because your heart's so full of praise, you can't help yourself. Is your heart full of praise this morning? When your heart's full of praise, you can't help but worship Him. You have integrity in your approach to God because you realize that God is God and you honor God with truth without pretense. You come into His presence. The one who is sincere in their walk with God will walk closely with God because He is the light alone that can light this dark world. And you don't want to live in the dark, you want to live in the light. And so you praise Him intentionally. The final element, and you say, 11:40 in the final. Hang on. This is the one I asked Bob to add. The final element in this intentional walking with God that I've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, and in fact, all the way back into the end of July. Intentionally walking with God. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to intentionally be discarding. You with me? There are going to be things in your life you're going to have to discard. Do away with them. If you're going to have that closer walk with God, it's going to be necessary from time to time to take an inventory. You ever take an inventory of anything? How many of y'all remember where Gibson's Discount Center used to be? You're dating yourself drastically. I went to work at Gibson's Discount Center. I wasn't quite old enough. I lied. I wasn't saved. I lied. I said that I was 16 when really I was 15, but nobody checked. So I went to work. I worked in the store when they were putting all the shelves in and bringing all the stuff in. And I worked there, and then all of a sudden, after it got open a few days, they said, we got to do an inventory. Mr. C.C. Chapman was the manager of that store, and believe me, he should have killed me a long time ago. I wouldn't be here today if he had done what he should have done. But Mr. Chapman told me that I was going to help with the inventory, and I was excited because if you help with the inventory, you could be off on Saturday. Nobody was open on Sunday, so you got a whole weekend. I'll never forget to Mr. Chapman carry me back into the back of the back room back there. I guess it'd be in the pits of hell back there in Shenanigans now, but back in the back end back there, and they set me down in front of a box. God be my judge. A box of Pop-On pencil erasers. Not packaged individually. And Mr. Chapman said to me, I need those counted. Have you ever taken an inventory? I mean, just really taking an inventory of your life. If you do that, you discover in your life, if you're like me, that some of that stuff doesn't need to be there. And from time to time in your life, it's going to be necessary that you take an inventory of your life and see if there's anything clouding your walk with God. Is there anything there that is not working well? I have a routine that I go through with people in troubled marriage and people that are about to be married. I have a routine of counseling that I do with them, and I've done the same thing. Many of you know my counseling because I've done it with you either way, getting married or having trouble in marriage. But I always follow the same plan, and I talk about foundational matters, talk about communication. Talk about knowing that you love one another, care for each other. I talk about finances because finance sometimes really gets people in trouble. I've got a plan that I talk to folks about when they come to my office about getting married or having trouble in their marriage. And I say this to them, and I want you to understand this today. I say this to them after I go through my spiel, my lesson. It takes me sometimes two or three different times to do that. But I start out this way and I end this way. If you're taking an inventory of your life, the very moment that you find an issue. So with married people, I say to them, hey, have you got a foundation in Christ? Yes, we both know that we know Jesus. Tell me about that. They give me a good testimony. You know what the number one trouble I run into? People don't talk to each other. Quit looking at your husband that way, ma'am. People just don't talk to each other. And when you don't talk to each other, you don't know what each other's feeling. You don't know what you're thinking. You know what's going on in your heart. And then I discover that people they don't do real good at doing what Jesus said. Man should leave his father and mother, unite his wife and wife, and become one. So many people don't ever get that oneness. Some may put on a good show, but truth is, you're not there yet. And I tell folks in that setting, I say, look, let's inventory our lives. Let's inventory our marriage. And the moment you find trouble in that area, the area that God points out to you, here's my trouble, fix that. Because you don't know if that problem is a problem that's because of something else that's off, but you got to fix that first. You follow? Then you got to go down the list, and you fix everything as you go down. Listen, you take an inventory of your heart. You take an inventory of your spiritual journey. You take an inventory of, do I love God? Do you take an inventory? Do I love the Word of God? Do I want the Word of God? Do I feast on the Word of God? Do I love being in church? Do I come because I want to worship? Am I really worshiping God? Take an inventory. And the moment you find a problem in your life, I challenge you, fix that problem. Because until you fix that problem, your walk is not going to be what it should. Intentionally discard that. Joshua is speaking to the people that he's talking to, and he's speaking on behalf of God. And he says in that 14th verse, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served." Well, I did another in-depth word study. I went back to the Hebrew. I found, after much searching without my computer, I found Joshua chapter 24. And after I found 24, I finally found verse 14. Remembering now, the Hebrew reads this way. So you start back here in the book and you do this. It's crazy. And I didn't have my computer up and running, so that's what I had to do. And I did a very in-depth study about those three little words, and put away. I found out something. This is real theological, Brother Cliff. To put away means to put away. Cast it aside. Quit messing with it. That's what it means. The language here is put away. And here's something else I learned. I'm not good at this, but listen, the direction of that put away is very imperative. That's the flavor of the tone here. It's the tone given to the words. It's imperative. Joshua's saying to them, it's imperative that you do this, that you put away, you take away those things in your life that don't need to be there. It's imperative you do that, that you put them away. Now, let's slow down just a minute. If you find something wrong in your walk with Christ, and you know that's the stumbling block, that's it. Well, how am I going to know? You seek God for it. He'll show you. Because I'm going to tell you something. You may think you want to walk with God, but I want you to know God wants to walk with you. And he'll do anything he can to have that walk with you. So you inventory your life, you discover there's a problem, and you decide, you know, I've got to fix this problem. You take that problem to God and listen to me, cast that away from you. It's our responsibility to cast it away. Now, I'm going to get in a little gray area here. Some of you may not believe this way, but I've got the pulpit right now. You can have it on Thursday. This casting off, this throwing things out of our life, this casting off of things is our responsibility. No, wait a minute. Hang on. You and I are responsible to remove things from our life that are not supposed to be there. Well, I just trust God. God can help you. But I'm telling you right now, I believe with all my heart that when God points something out to us, God expects us to do something about that which he's pointed out. I'm going to talk about snuff. I dipped it for a long time, boys and girls. I've seen some women dipping that stuff lately. God pointed out to me, and it may have pointed out to you, but he pointed out to me that I didn't need that. Because I want to tell you something, I was well advanced in ministry. I told my wife I quit, but I had a white pickup. And you spit out the window. She knew. So God really dealt with my heart about that, and I threw it out the window one day. I just threw it out in the window. Somewhere between here and Ferguson Farm. I said, "No, I mean, you were here." "Yeah, I told you I was well in my ministry." And I drove about where Tim Buehler lives, down the road where he lives, and I just turned around down there and came back and spent 30 minutes searching that ditch for that can of snuff I just threw out. That is not discarding it, folks. That's not what discarding means. That doesn't mean that one time you just say, "Oh, I'm not going to do it today." No, I'm talking about discarding something from your life that God can fill that place in your life and use you in ways you've never imagined before. When you put something away, put it away. The language of our verse is instructive and imperative. This is something you must do. I want you to consider 1 Thessalonians. Just let me tell you this. You have to try to go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning verse 19. Paul has some little one-sentence, short-phrase admonitions. There it says, "Do not quench the Spirit." So if there's something in your life that you haven't done away with and God has said, "Hey, you need to do away with that," you are now quenching the Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of God is quenched, you're going to have trouble walking close to God. Because when you got something between you and God, you don't want to get too close. You're scared he'll zap you. Well, let me tell you something. He's a good shot. If he wants you, he'll get you. No matter where you are. But trust me, when it says to put something away, it means you put it away. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecy. Test all things. Who in this room could not listen to something, look at something, read something, taste something, do something, and not know if it's contrary to God? It's easy. We know right from wrong. We know right from wrong. And if we know right from wrong, and in our life we've got wrong, then you need to cast that wrong aside, whatever it is. I love what Paul says in the 22nd verse of 1 Thessalonians 5. Abstain. There's one of those fancy words. It's in Greek, in the New Testament. Means abstain, stay away from. Abstain from every form of evil. If it's not good, don't do it. If you know it's not right, stay away from it. It's up to you to cast that aside. In this section of one hot exhortations of Paul, he's writing to the Thessalonians, and in his direct words, he's saying to them, you've got to do this. You've got to abstain. You've got to not quench the Spirit. You've got to not despise prophecy. You've got to test all things. It's up to us to do that. I'm going to tell you something I think, and I think all too often, if you're listening, say amen. Amen. So the rest of you will come along. I think all too often, people say, oh, I've given everything over to God. And the truth is, the reality is, they've not stopped whatever they're doing. They just give it over to God. I love the old story about the older lady, she was probably 70, came down the aisle one time in a service, and folks have been coming down to the altar and laying cigarettes and snuff and whiskey bottles. They've been laying stuff down and saying, I'm going to quit this, and they leave it there on the altar. This little lady came down, and she looked at the preacher, and he was amazed. I mean, she was a stalwart in the church. He knew who she was, a Christian, and he thought, well, I wonder what's she doing. She came down and she said, preacher, I don't have nothing, and I'm quitting it because I ain't been doing nothing, and I'm going to leave nothing on the counter here. I'm done with it. I'm going to stop doing nothing and start doing something. Sometimes you got to inventory your life and know what's there. Once you know what is there, it's up to you to discard that and set it aside. Can I give you just a couple more examples here? Consider the story of Jesus, who encounters 10 lepers, and they all cry out for mercy. I'm going to give you the short form. Jesus sees them, the Bible says, and he has mercy on them, and he says this to them. Now, don't miss this. Jesus says to them, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says that as they went, as they obeyed God, as they obeyed Christ, as they went, they were healed. Now, here's my idea. Had Jesus said to those 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest, and they stood there and looked at him like a cow looking at a new gate, guess what? I don't think they'd ever been healed. Because Jesus said, go and show yourself. How about the guy that's blind? There was a big theological argument about this blind man, and Jesus, they said, well, who sinned, him or his parents? How did this happen? And Jesus said, no, it happened that God might be glorified through him. And then Jesus did something that most of us would go, oh, no. He spit on the ground. That ain't in the Bible. It is. He spit on the ground, and he made a little mud pie from spit and dirt. And he put it on that old boy's eyes. And then he said, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. I think if that old boy said, well, get this mud off my face, I'm not going anywhere. I can't see. He'd been blind when he died. Because Jesus said, I'm going to heal you, but here's what you got to do in order to be healed. Consider that story. Consider those stories I'm telling you, and realize that Jesus expects us to do some things, to put some things off, to cast some things aside intentionally so that we can get closer and closer to God. I'm going to tell you something. The more you embrace God, the more you will feel the embrace of God. And the more you embrace God, the more you realize that God's been holding on a lot longer than you have. There's things in our life we've got to put away. Paul said, test all things. So Thessalonians chapter 5, test all things. Hold fast. Abstain from everything that's evil. We got to test things, know what they are, and abstain from things that are evil. I'm going to tell you two stories and I'm finished. I can't do it in 5 minutes, so I'm telling you up front. If you got to go to the bathroom, you just got to wait. Joshua, the chosen leader after Moses has died, has led the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the promised land. And Joshua is probably strutting about a pretty good bit. Because see, they encountered the city of Jericho. Y'all know the story. And God said to Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there, take all the children of Israel, this enormous group of people, and I want you to get the Ark of the Covenant, get it out front, get the priests in place, get the ones that guard it in place, and get the trumpeters there. I want you to walk around the city one time, come back to the camp. 6 days they did that. On the seventh day, God said, that's going to be a little bit more involved, so we'll be able to get up a little bit earlier today. He said, I want you to walk around that thing 7 times. Now, I want you to know something. In the 6 days previous and through the sixth trip around, nobody had said a word. There were no preachers in that group. So there's no way a preacher could have went 6 days and not said a word. So they walk around there quiet and silent. Now, can you imagine the guards up on the wall going, well, there's them silly Jews again. Wonder what they're doing. They have some kind of parade. We don't know what it is, but they're doing it. And on the seventh trip around, on the seventh day, Joshua was told by God to have them sit down on those horns pretty good. You ever been sitting at a traffic light and somebody blow one of those old ahuga horns? Take your hide off. Make you mad when it happens. They sit down those horns, and those people who had been completely silent for 6 days and six trips around on the seventh day shouted with a loud voice, and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua strutted about pretty good. I mean, you know, we just came off the defeat of Jericho, so they go over to Ai. They go to Ai, this little town, and he sends the spies up, and they look, and they say, anybody can do this. So they go back and tell the commander, Joshua, look, why don't you just send about 3,000 men? That's plenty. There's no way these people can hurt us or harm us. They can't defeat us. So they go up there, and I want you to know 36 of them died. Special forces they were. 36 of them died. They chased them from Bedi's to Conroe. When they got down there, they were out of breath. They went back to Joshua and said, well, we got trouble. And Joshua, this leader that God had put in place, falls on his face before God, begins to cry and wallow around on the dirt, saying, God, did you bring us here that we're going to die in the hands of the Amorites? God, we'd have been better just to stay on the other side of Jordan. And don't you miss what God said. It's not in the language exactly this way. But God boomed from heaven and said, Joshua, get up off the ground, wipe your snotty nose, there's sin in the camp. And as long as there's sin in the camp, I cannot and will not bless you. See, God had said, don't go in there and take anything out of Jericho. Leave it just like that. Bring the gold and silver, put it in the treasures of the Lord. Leave everything else there. Achan decided he'd get him a little piece of purple and some material and stuff in there, and he hid it within his own stuff. And because that sin was in the camp, one man committed a sin that caused the entire nation of Israel problems because of that sin. God said, Joshua, get up off your face, get up off your ground, wipe your nose, there's sin in the camp. And until that sin was dealt with, the story would have ended right there. Oh, how can you say that? Because God had said, there's sin in the camp, you've got to get rid of it. So why on earth would we think we'll have a close walk with God if there's sin in our personal camp? Lonnie Johnson is vacationing in Branson, Missouri. I looked for him this morning so I could ask him if I could do this, but he's not here, and he'll listen later. Jennifer can tell him. Lonnie worked for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for a long time. He was a warden when he retired. And he told me a story one time about this particular unit he was on. There was an old carport that belonged to unit housing, and every evening they just kind of turned that carport into a bar. And so he said, I went over a lot. And then later on, he and Michelle are together, married, they got children on the way and got children on the ground. And he said, I just got to thinking about that one day. And he said, I had some alcoholic beverages in my house. Now I know what some of you think, well, just shut up about alcohol, no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. And Lonnie said, I had some alcohol in my house. And he said, so I decided that I would take all that alcohol outside, build a fire, and pour it on that fire and let it burn up. He said, I did that. And then he said, later on, I thought, you know what? I'm going to bust them bottles up too. He said, so he went out there with a hammer and smashed those bottles in little bitty pieces and ground them up and left them in the dirt there. He said, I forever took that out of my life because God said, you don't need that. That's what intentionally serving looks like. That's what intentionally committing your life looks like. You take that which God has said, get rid of that, doesn't even be in your life. Don't do that any longer. Put it out. I can't bless you. There's sin in the camp. And he cannot until you do away with that which is in your life. Joshua said, God, why did this happen? And God said, Joshua, sin in the camp. He took Achan out of town and they did away with him. They took that which he had taken and they did away with all that stuff. Intentionally serve him. Intentionally walk with him. Intentionally confess him. Intentionally place your trust in him. And listen. And when God says something, do what he says do. Don't put it off. Do it then. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord, for this day. God, again, I thank you for this wonderful group of people that you put together in this place. God, we come before you this morning with open hearts, asking God that you'd speak to us. God, if there are those in this building today to whom you have spoken that need to rid themselves intentionally of some things in their life, I pray they would start with that process even now, God. Seek your guidance and your direction. And then, Father, that they would physically do those things you've asked them to do. God, some here need to be saved and need to come to know Jesus. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would move in their hearts today. Bring them to your side. Some in this building, God, need to make decisions for you. You need to be a part of this church, Lord. They need to follow believers' baptism. God, they just have decisions on their heart that you've said do. God, I just believe until we do what you say do, we're just kind of stuck. We're in one spot. So you come, Lord, and you be God over this invitation. You be God over everything that happens in this place. Bring your people to yourself. Let them intentionally come this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand with me as we stand together? Would you come as God might lead you?